There is a wind that keeps blowing since the beginning of time in every language ever spoken. It continues to whisper, "You must meet the outer world with your inner world, or existence will crush you. If inner does not meet outer, our lives will collapse and vanish." Though we often think that hiding our inwardness will somehow protect or save us, it is actually quite the opposite. The heart is very much like a miraculous balloon. Its lightness comes from staying full. Meeting the days with our heart prevents collapse. That's from Meeting the World by Mark Nepo. And he goes on to say, this is why 90-year-old widows remain committed to tending small flowers in the spring. Why 10-year-olds with very little to eat care for stray kittens, holding them to their skinny chests. Why painters going blind paint more. Why composers going deaf write great symphonies. This is why, when we think we can't possibly try again, we let out a sigh that goes back through the centuries, and then, despite all our experience, we inhale and try again. My friends, we are in the midst of disorienting, challenging times, times that, as Mark Nepo says, could easily crush us. COVID-19, 180,000 Americans dead, nearly 800,000 worldwide, millions out of work facing evictions and loss of health care, all during a pandemic. California's on fire, the air thick with smoke as climate degradation worsens. And there's the reality of ongoing systemic racism and our government enacting an agenda of cruelty, lies, and destruction. And voter disenfranchisement with threats to shut down the post office impacting attempts at a democratic election in just 74 days. And those are just the tip of the melting iceberg. Amidst all of it, we don't get to be together in person and hug one another when we're struggling or when we want to celebrate or when we need to grieve together. For some of us, problems pushed aside are bubbling to the surface, and anything that's being suppressed is coming out, and old trauma is being reawakened for many while our anxiety and loneliness grow. And I hate to say it, but things may get even worse before they get better. So it's easy to feel anxious, hopeless, and crushed by external circumstances. These times require us to muster extraordinary reserves of resilience and courage and to develop some new, deeper coping strategies. So let's take a moment together to let out a collective sigh, as Mark Nepo invites us to do, and then inhale and try again. So let's just all sigh together. Oh. And then inhale and try again. But what tools do we need to help us try again? With no end in sight, what spiritual strategies can we develop to endure these struggles for the long haul? So I have a few ideas that I want to share with you. First, there are day-to-day practical tools, and then we're going to mine the depths of the inner life. So one practical strategy is something as simple as finding wonder in the ordinary, as we heard in the poem that Derek read earlier. Now, most of us are stuck in our homes day in, day out, so things can feel ordinary and stifling. And Dick Gilbert reminded us to recognize the poignancy of living in which the common things of life become uncommon. The ordinary becomes extraordinary, and the habitual becomes sacred. What can you look for in your home or in your day that helps you see the ordinary in a new way, that helps you experience wonder and the sacred in ordinary things? Does one of your plants inside or outside your house show some new growth, a little bud or leaf? Has your child or grandchild learned a new skill? Can you cook something with a new recipe? I know that some of you have been teaching yourself how to bake the most wonderful sourdough bread. And others of you have taken up painting or playing a new instrument or writing poetry. How can you see your life and surroundings with new eyes today? How can you step increasingly into the magic of each moment? Look with fresh eyes each day. Don't assume it's going to be the same. Instead, I invite you to look for the differences. Remember those pictures in magazines with nearly identical images where you have to spot the difference? You have to keep looking at what you think you know, and then suddenly you see a difference. So do that with your attention in your seemingly similar days and start to spot the differences every day. Look for wonder. Another simple tool that helps me experience wonder is feeling gratitude. When I start my morning with gratitude for the new day, for the bird song, for the air we breathe, for my family, for this community, I'm more able to get in touch with the miracle and opportunity that each new day presents. And it's good to intentionally disrupt the familiar and break out of your usual routines. Change your habit or stretch yourself to do things a little differently than normal. Recently, on my break, I tried a 2-day fast, just for the heck of it, just to change things up and vary my dependence on food. And it gave me a new perspective and changed my habits. And it also helped me get more in tune with my body and helped me see what my mind does around food. Or if you're in a funk, my friends, find something meaningful to do with your day by helping someone else. Pick up the phone to call someone who's lonely, or clean out a closet and give unused clothes away so you can feel the joy of giving and spaciousness. Or get yourself out of a depression by volunteering and doing something good for others. Contact our hashtag #YouTheVote folks and write letters to register voters. I know many of you have also been making masks or helping with donations to Adelante Comunidad. Doing something meaningful, something kind for another with your day can transform how you feel. The poet and essayist Mary Jean Irion has a blessing that says, "Normal day, let me be aware of the treasure you are. Let me learn from you, love you, bless you before you depart. Let me not pass you by in quest of some rare and perfect tomorrow. Let me hold you while I may, for it may not always be so. One day I shall dig my nails into the earth, or bury my face in the pillow, or stretch myself taut, or raise my hands to the sky, and want more than all the world your return." And I'm especially reminded of that with the sudden death of my friend. So find wonder, disrupt the ordinary, do something for someone else, and be grateful for every day. These are four simple strategies that you can engage right away. But when times get really tough, as they may well become over the next few months, and as they are for some of you, I know, some of these tools may not be enough to allay our grief, our anger, or our fear. So, in such times, we need to drop our anchors deep into whatever grounds us most. And as Mark Nepo reminded us, we need to take care of our inner life. So, I invite you to look deeply within to see what truly anchors you. What sustains you? Anchors your life and helps you feel comforted, which you can turn to again and again. A friend told me recently that when boats on the ocean drop two anchors rather than just one. It's likely that a storm is coming. And they want to be doubly sure that they are able to survive the choppy waters, the wild seas, the raging wind and rain. They want to be prepared for all difficulties. My friends, we may be facing more intense storms ahead, so we need to put down at least two spiritual anchors to help us ride the waves. What comforts you when nothing else can? What soothes your disquieted mind, your aching heart, or your weary soul? What two anchors can you drop down deep during difficult times to ensure that you are steady in a storm? Now, spiritual anchors may take the form of sacred writings, scripture, stories, poetry, or even music. They may be your connection to God, spirit, or source, or if you're an atheist, it may be your ability to hear your own inner voice or your higher intuition. It may be grounding in your body and breath. It may be a meditation, journaling, or yoga practice. Or it may be your connections to animals or nature. What is it for you? As I wrestled with some difficult matters one night a week or so ago, and I needed some comfort, I woke up with the words of Psalm 23 in my mind. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now that was strange because I'm not normally someone who wakes up with Bible verses in my head, but still it gave me deep comfort. And then I remembered Bobby McFerrin's incredible musical feminist rendering of that psalm, and I recalled how much the right piece of music, together with powerful words, can anchor me. So as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of white women getting the vote this week, this video reminds me of the 100 years of struggle that women had to endure to get the vote. And of course, tragically, it took until the 1960s for most women of color to be given the vote. They had to persevere even longer. So I thought of these women's resilience and determination across many generations, the kind of perseverance that we may need to draw on for the long haul in our current struggles for racial, climate, and economic justice. So I wanted to share this beautiful anchoring homage to Psalm 23, celebrating strong, enduring, courageous women. Bobby McFerrin created this to honor his mother. In the old Russian story, which Sam told earlier, a tale of another strong young woman, Vasilisa's deep anchor was the doll she talked to and cared for every day. Her connection with that doll gave her strength and reminded her that mornings would always be wiser than the evenings. It connected her to her deceased mother and gave her courage daily. So you may even find an object, a rock, a necklace, a rosary, or bracelet that helps ground you? Is there something physical in your environment that helps you anchor, some favorite talisman or lucky charm? Another passage I turn to time and again during difficult moments is psychologist Clarissa Pinkola Estes's powerful letter to a young activist during troubling times, which she wrote originally in 2001. Here are some excerpts, but I encourage you to read the full poem online because she's updated it for these times. My friends, do not lose heart. We were made for these times. I've heard from so many recently who are deeply and properly bewildered. They're concerned about the state of affairs in our world now, yet I urge you, ask you, gentle you, to please not spend your spirit dry by bewailing these difficult times. Especially, do not lose hope. Most particularly because the fact is that we were made for these times. Yes. For years, we've been learning, practicing, been in training for, and just waiting to meet on this exact plane of engagement. I grew up on the Great Lakes, she writes, and recognize a seaworthy vessel when I see one. Regarding awakened souls, there have never been more able vessels in the waters than there are right now across the world, and they are fully provisioned and able to signal one another as never before in the history of humankind. Look out over the prow. There are millions of boats of righteous souls on the water with you. And even though your veneers may shiver from every wave in the stormy royal, I assure you that the long timbers composing your prow and rudder come from a greater forest. That long-grained lumber is known to withstand storms, to hold together, to hold its own, and to advance regardless. We are needed. That is all we can know. One of the most calming and powerful actions you can do to intervene in a stormy world is to stand up and show your soul. Soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. Struggling souls catch light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it. So if you would help to calm the tumult, this is one of the strongest things you can do. When a great ship is in harbor and moored, it is safe. There can be no doubt. But that is not what great ships are built for. I love these words because they help me feel that we can weather any storm together and that we are up to the task and we have each other. You can find the whole piece at this link in the chat. My friends, we are made for these times. We are strong, courageous souls on deck, shining our light for others to see. Our vessels are seaworthy. They're built for these times. But I encourage you to look for what your anchors to moor your great ship out at sea. I invite you this week to search within your heart, notice your body and breath, and ask your innermost self what you need for courage, comfort, and endurance during this time. And collect these resources, hold them close. Find your favorite writings, your special music, your place out in nature. Connect with your breath, your spirit, your God, or your inner voice. Discover an object that tethers you. Whatever it is that when times get stormy can help you feel secure and steady. And if any of you feel called to share with us now what that is for you, please share it in our chat now. And otherwise, I invite us to engage this question later on Facebook. My friends, I look forward to hearing about your anchors and sharing our communal wisdom. We are so much more together and we can hold each other through these storms. Blessed be.